New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
WrestleMania is in the books. It was an all-time one. Let's talk about it. This is Ruthless Aggression, the post-WrestleMania weekend recap. Damn, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was really nice to have fans back first and foremost. I mean, I think that added a lot to the environment, even with, you know, the weather delay on Saturday. But yeah, really just a
weather delay made it all better. When was the last time you had what was the time you ever had a rain delay at WrestleMania?
They said that was a first.
Yeah, never. I mean, they've always gotten pretty lucky.
Yeah, because I remember at 33, there was like a brief little rain shower at the beginning of it, but nothing heavy enough for them to cancel.
And there was one, and there was one at 24 too. There was a rain shower at 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it wasn't bad enough to really affect shit. But the fact that we had a fucking a weather delay, and we'll talk about like the in between and the weather delay first because it is funny. But the fact that we had a weather delay and it's like this. We waited so long to have fans back in the stands for wrestling for so many other sports. We saw it tonight with Lucas Giolito, with Carlos Rodon's no-hitter, just how much we missed having fans in stands. To have that delay just a little bit longer was just like, yo, this is the ultimate tease. I want it now, but I'm willing to hold on for another 40. It's cool for another 40. And then once the show came, it just breezed right by.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awesome it's the whole atmosphere of that whole entire weekend was fucking amazing. We'll get into the matches in just a hot second, but what was it like for you guys watching this two-night extravaganza at home? Obviously the fans made a big difference, but it was paced perfectly.
Yeah, that's really the big thing. You look at the matches, I think the one like 20-minute match of the two nights was that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's only really one match that I think went too long, and I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, no, the pacing was good, and I think the two night thing is the way to go and possibly here to stay.
I mean, I would hope. I think it's nice to have two nights to work with. I think you get a better crowd out of it. Even if I think that it's not just, you know, the show itself, but the members of the crowd as well.
Well, and just on that real quick, I said that to you during Bianca and Sasha. Like, when's the last time we had a crowd that invested by the main event?
At a meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a long
time. I mean,
I would probably say 31.
Mm-hmm.
Because that show was like four hours.
Yes, yeah. That was definitely 31. 31 was that definitely the last one.
Yeah, so I would say 31 is the last time they were that invested in the main event.
There's a big difference, though. You know, the main event having sit there for 4 hours compared to, you know, whatever.
If their insistence is, okay, it's WrestleMania, we need to get, like, a majority of the people who have been on TV, you know, a payday, then you go two nights every single time. And maybe because of the situation, you know, you'll get some kickoff show matches out of that.
So you should. Like, it was like that was the only thing missing were some kickoff shows, because there's some guys left off the card that wouldn't have been left off the card had, like, the circumstances. Like, I kind of get why they didn't want to do a pre-show, but it wasn't like they shouldn't have. It wasn't like they couldn't have.
Well, you know what
honestly,
the thing is?
Honestly, like, if I may.
Yeah.
I get not doing the kickoff show on Saturday. They could have done something on Sunday.
They could have,
because
the rainstorm wouldn't have really affected. It was a little bit earlier, so they would have been fine.
I am a little curious if the guys that work SmackDown got, you know, a Mania payday technically, and because I mean, you could just, I'm not saying make that like
to the DVD,
like the go home show going forward can be exactly what they did on SmackDown, where you have a couple matches that weren't going to make Mania and just a bunch of interviews. You can even bring the Raw people in.
That should even be what Raw is like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah.
It could be a reset for both. It could be a jumping off point to WrestleMania and then yeah. coming out of it a reset for both shows. If you just had both shows on that fucking on Raw on the TV shows around WrestleMania.
If you need to add time to shows that are the go homes, okay, just replay a WrestleMania match.
Hey, what you can do if you want to add a third hour to that SmackDown before WrestleMania, put it on Peacock. I don't know if Fox wants to do it necessarily, but I mean, like, you can brand it as something special to where you put it on Peacock. But I guess to the point of the pre-shows, like, it was definitely missing and definitely lacking. Yeah. I get why they didn't do it. But, like, the dope thing about them doing three, maybe three and change, like, it felt like it ended right at 3 hours, at least Sunday. Yeah. Saturday was wonky, so Sunday felt like it landed at 3 on the dot. But, like, with you doing these three-hour, two-night shows, you can do a one-hour or maybe a 90-minute pre-show to get guys on that early part of the show. It's a hyper for the crowd. Because, like, let's be honest with you. When you're – if I was in that crowd for Sunday and the first match that I see is Bray and The Fiend or Bray and Randy, granted, the visuals are fire to begin that match. And Randy, thank you so much for taking your sweet ass time to come to the ring. I know you were just like so happy to see the fans. You couldn't take your excitement, but yeah, you've taken over the Undertaker's slow ass walk to the ring, sir. And we had a shorter ramp. So like, good God. But yeah, imagine that's the first match that you have to watch that night. And it's kind of it's a lull. You know, that set the course for how night two was going to go. Night two didn't really pick up until the main event. So you need those pre-show matches on there. You need those matches to hype the crowd up. So then WrestleMania comes around, your biggest matches. And you can kind of, you know, get more dudes on the card, so to speak, but then also give us as fans something to bite into, sink into. Cause when you do it like that, like, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Oh, so such and such was on the pre-show. They'll still do it to an extent, but at least you're not trying to jam them into the show and hopefully you can give them time to work. You know, that's the main part of having that pre-show and having that time is that they can get an extra 5 minutes that they wouldn't get on the main card. Like, had that women's tag turmoil been on a pre-show, I'd have been fine with it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. And, you know, I think the women's tag ending up on the pre-show also would have helped out because
Sheamus and Riddle, I'd been fine with it.
Because certain other matches seem to lose time because the women's tag went long, but mm-hmm. you know,
I honestly felt like the Roman match could have went a little bit longer. The ending was a bit abrupt for me. Sasha and Bianca could have went a little bit longer. I would have liked to see them go 20. I'm not mad at what they did because I mean, like, it was an excellent match. But it did feel like some other matches kind of lost a little bit of time there, but let's talk about the show. Let's start with the main events, plural. Well, let's start with the second night. Big Dog did what he said he was going to do. He's going to drop them. He's going to stack them. They're going to get the 1, 2, 3, and they're going to be looking up at the better man while all the fireworks going off. He did that 100%. And, you know, throughout the course of the match, I'm like, yeah, it's probably the right thing to have Roman come around. Not only win the match, but then do it in the way he did. Like, you know, Chris, you tried to say he's goated. I mean, yeah, I guess in a sense, I mean, second tier. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. Like, there's a certain specific few in that goat tier. He ain't there. He's not Stone Cold, Ric Flair, da da da. But Roman is untouchable right now. Not a single fucking person in professional wrestling can touch that man. Not Brock Lesnar. Not anybody fucking in AEW. Not Okada. Not anybody can touch Roman Reigns in where he stands in professional wrestling right now at Sunday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I thought Edge was going to win even, you know, up to his entrance. He got probably the biggest pop of the night.
I think the whole weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, you know, they're giving it to Edge.
But also, like, everybody was getting big ass pops.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember if I said it on the prediction show or if it's something I arrived at kind of later in the week, but you know, Roman needed to win. He needs to lose in a singles match. I know we've had this discussion where, you know, it might not necessarily put over the guy who takes it from him as much as we think, but you could do something here. I mean, he can hold it for another year, really, and lose it to whoever wins the Royal Rumble this year. Look, I mean, there's options.
I will say one thing. Everything, every reserve that I have is definitely pointed towards one person in particular. If it's it's Roman and Heyman who are, like, you know, kind of fully at the helm, I'll trust them. I'll trust them on this result. I'll trust them on Roman having the title for however long. SummerSlam, shit. Next WrestleMania, if they decide to give Roman that long of a title run, I honestly wouldn't be mad at it.
Well, I think...
Because, like, I don't know. I wouldn't really be mad at Roman holding the title for that long.
Well, here's the thing. It seems clear that SummerSlam is going to be their next big show, and then from there, they're going back on the road.
I don't know about that.
Based on what Nick Khan said today, he said next time they have fans, they're pretty much going back on the road after. So, you know, you look at how long... Yeah.
Oh, you said Nick Khan.
It's confusing. It's very confusing that there's a Nick Khan and a Tony Khan.
I guess Nick and Tony.
Yeah. But no, they're in the new Thunderdome till I think the beginning of August. That could be extended a couple weeks, or you can tape shows or whatever. But it seems like
that's a locked in thing. Like, they're not budging from leaving the Thunderdome until August.
Yeah, I know they're allowed to be there until, you know, I think it's the beginning of August. And he said today, you know, next time we have an event with fans, we're going back to it full time.
Yeah, because, you know, he said that it was just a treat for them. But they figure next time that happens, we need to.
So it seems like it would be SummerSlam. So you got to
feel like they can really start getting back at least January.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of places are going to be opening up 100%. I know, like, you kind of want to play it safe off the start, but let's be real. They can start running places at, like, you say full capacity. Like, whatever, dude. I don't believe that shit. If there's an opportunity for them to go 75 or, like, even 50, they will.
Yeah, that's why I think after SummerSlam they're going to start, you know, the touring schedule might be a little different because every state's going to have probably different regulations for them. But the point is,
even if that's true with the regulations, when it comes to fans and whatnot, they're probably going to be at their own agents.
Yeah. Well, and they'll have the waivers and stuff. But the waivers,
or even just the vaccination part.
The point of all this is that clearly SummerSlam is going to be a big show, maybe in a stadium again. Who knows?
Should be. I don't understand why they wouldn't run a stadium.
Well,
it's August outside. August
it's brutal outside.
Go somewhere where it's not hotter than balls in August. It's not like you got shit. You have so many goddamn retractable roof stadiums. You tell me they can't go to Vegas.
That's true.
That's very true.
I don't know if an NFL team would love having their stadium used like 2 weeks before the season starts.
Maybe not. But I know a lot of NFL stadiums that have been missing out on concert revenue for the last year in change. So
that's a good point.
They're smart. I don't know. I just use common sense a lot. I understand, like, it's stupid to use common sense, but a lot of these NFL teams that own the stadiums, like, obviously it's not like they're going to go to Soldier Field. They're not going to fuck up that field. But, you know, if it's like, not Jerry World, but who owns their stadium? Mark Day. Let's just use Allegiant as a proxy. Although I don't, I'll actually cross out Allegiant. Because I was going to say, like, for a big show, if they probably want to hold that off for Raiders, but they've had fans in Allegiant for MLB games last year. So I don't know how they would feel about that. But, like, you know, for a lot of stadiums that are stat, like, let's say Indy. They went to Indianapolis. Like, it's not like Indianapolis can really be a Debbie Downer about the shit. How many people were in attendance for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, a good amount.
So I actually think, like, yo, if you wanted to do it in Lucas Oil Stadium, I know it's like Indianapolis. Who wants to go to Indianapolis in the summer? But I mean, 3 hour drive from Chicago.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad drive from your big markets. But the point is, if you're gonna do SummerSlam as a big show, that's probably where you do Roman Brock if you're gonna do it. But you have Roman win though.
What you're saying, I was 100%. Gonna say. Be Roman Brock, then
Roman needs to win, and he's needed to win, you know, the last however many times they've fought.
When it comes to SummerSlam and being a big event, talk about Roman's next the next big defense. I think it ultimately depends on who that is.
Yeah.
Whether
no, that's
Roman
fair.
Holds it. Roman's not dropping the title at Backlash Money.
He's not.
Bank.
I don't think he's dropping the title until next WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I would agree. So you have to talk about his big title defenses that'll happen at SummerSlam and maybe Survivor Series later on. If they shift away from champ versus champ,
I think they'll end up doing him and Edge at least for WrestleMania Backlash, which is like, could you not just fucking call it Backlash? Why do you have to tie WrestleMania to it?
Yeah,
I'm not calling it that.
I'm not calling it that either. It's Backlash. It's in the Backlash lineage. It's fucking Backlash.
Yeah.
So I think they'll run Edge because you know Edge can make the argument that his shoulders weren't on the mat. Or you can make the argument that it wasn't the one-on-one match that he was promised. Brian can get the fuck out of the scene. Brian can go to Raw for all I care. But you know, once you get past that, like I feel like it's easier to name the dudes who Roman won't be facing for the strap than it is for who he will. You know, with Brian crossing it all. I feel 100% unequivocally in my heart that if next WrestleMania comes around and they're not doing Roman versus Big E, we got a problem.
Yeah, no, that feels like the match right now.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Don't do this fucking Roman Rock shit. See that. I'm not saying you're doing it. I'm not saying you were gonna throw that out there. I'm just saying like, we've been talking about Roman versus The Rock for how long? And The Rock is going to be 50, or he's going to be 49 at next year's WrestleMania, 50 pretty soon.
Well, they're going to run it in LA, I think. That's
fine. Do it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was going to say, don't be so sure on Big E because there's a draft in October.
Yeah.
If they feel that the time has come to switch, you can flip Drew McIntyre over there.
I that was the second person I was gonna say, but I would rather it be Big E.
To be fair, he could win the Rumble and then challenge Roman, but you get the idea.
Yeah, but I mean,
but I doubt that. Actually, I shouldn't say I doubt. They could give somebody another Rumble.
It is cool though. You know, there's a list of guys you could see. You know, in these B level pay per views coming up, you could do Roman against Cesaro. You could do a Roman against Kevin Owens program.
Nakamura.
Yeah, Shinsuke has been back in the fold. Yeah, I mean,
they got a rehab Nakamura.
It'd just be cool though. There's a lot more options than there are on Raw, which I mean,
Raw's a terrible show.
Yeah, Raw's bad. I mean,
there's also another option, and that's giving us Roman versus Cena, and Cena winning 17. But like, I would prefer Cena to win the other title. That's just
fair.
Yeah.
You can end night one with Cena winning 17, and you can end night two with Roman beating Big E.
Sure.
We are long-term booking because we are a part of the writer's room because we do a much better job than the people who write for Raw and SmackDown every week. Anything else on Roman's title win?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, pinning both of them like that was just such a cool idea that just kind of like definitively.
I want to know whose idea it was. It was
Michael Hayes, right? Who produced the match?
Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. And I just want to know, Edge is a writer for Raw. Brian is a writer for SmackDown. With Roman pinning them both, does he have control there on both shows?
He should.
Lord knows. He need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's move on to the first main event of WrestleMania, a historic one. In fact, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks going out there as the first black women to headline a main event of WrestleMania. First off, let me eat the crow. Because for the last 2 months, I've been saying, yeah, it's not going to be the main event. There's no way in fucking hell this is going to be the main event. I thought we were all dead set on Drew getting that big win. And then the more and more that we got into WrestleMania, and it really didn't come around until a week and a half before, whenever we did the preview show, where I'm like, okay, Bobby's an excellent champion. I would love to see the title stay on Bobby. If that happens, there's no way that's main eventing. Because you never end a WrestleMania with the heels going over. You never do that. It's never happened in history. 2000, when Triple H won the bullshit Fatal 4-Way, that really should have just been Rock's coronation. They had The Rock beat up on the McMahons, and he ended the show.
Well,
11 years, what was it?
They did it for WrestleMania 34, but everyone can agree that that was just a really poor decision.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on how you look at Brock, because I mean, like...
Well, that's true.
He's an asshole. I mean, it's not like he's a heel. It's not like he's a heel. He's a heel in the traditional sense, but he's more playing an asshole than a heel. Mm-hmm. 27, Miz won a championship, and then Miz immediately got rock bottomed in people's elbow, and The Rock was ending it, you know, on top. So it's never happened, and that's when it clicked. I'm like, okay, if that happens, then yeah, like you have to main event that show, that match. And they did it, and all I asked was that they fucking delivered, and they fucking delivered.
Oh yeah, no, they killed it. You know, Bianca taking kind of a moment to soak everything in at the beginning, I think, was really cool.
God, that was emotional.
You know, Michael Cole being sure to, you know, note that they were the first black women to main event WrestleMania was pretty cool too.
Let's talk about it, man, because like we love to be like, oh, Michael Cole is one of the greatest of all time. Michael Cole is better than Jim Ross, da da da. Michael Cole continuously fucks up big moments. Continuously. And I didn't even hear it because I was too goddamn cheering from Bianca winning that like I didn't know until I watched it later on that night. I'm like, oh, he botched the fuck out of that. It wasn't even like when he ruined the streak is over. He botched that. Good God, Michael Cole. Anyway, that was just an excellent match. And before we harp on Bianca and her future and where she's going, I want to stop and talk about Sasha. Because I feel like Sasha got a really unfair deal going into WrestleMania. Everybody making a big deal of she's not promoting the she's not promoting the show, she's not doing this, she's not doing that. The angle being shitty didn't help. But at the end of the day, none of that mattered.
Not a single bit
of it mattered. All that mattered was when she got in that ring, she made Bianca look like, I mean, I should say they're both stars, but I mean, like, in order for Bianca to be elevated to the point where she is now, Sasha has to get her there. And, you know, the Ric Flair comparisons, she played the Ric Flair perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, this whole, oh, she's 0-6 at WrestleMania now, it's funny, which it is, I guess. But
also, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
Somebody else had a long-ass Big Show. Big Show never won at WrestleMania, right? I mean, obviously, she's not big, but...
Yeah, I don't think
so. No, not saying he did. He never won up until the point where he won the IC belt, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's fine. You know, there's no complaints you can make about her or anything. I mean, she's one of the best big match wrestlers they have.
Is it time to call her Big Match Sasha on TV every week? Michael Cole.
Yeah. I'm thinking of it to myself right now since she became champion at TakeOver Rival, when they did the Four Horsemen Fatal 4-Way. I mean, counting that match, thinking out loud,
unstoppable. Takeover Brooklyn. One after that.
Yeah.
10 classics of hers. Rival, the one where she won. Unstoppable against Becky. Both matches against Bayley. The Mania 32 triple threat. Mm-hmm. The two Raw matches against Charlotte. Not the one in October. The first one where she won the title for the first time. And then the Falls Count Anywhere match in Charlotte. Becky Hell in a Cell, Bayley Hell in a Cell, and then Bianca at Mania 37. 10 classics in 5 years. So basically, on average,
you said Mania 30. You said Mania 30 what?
32.
Mania 30. You gave a couple more after that. You said the two against Charlotte, and then what else?
And then Becky and Bayley both in Hell in a Cell. So Hell in a Cell 2019.
Yeah.
And then Bianca at Mania 37. So that's 10 classics. So she's averaging 2 per year, pretty much. That's ridiculous.
She's great, man. She's
there's
great.
There really is no, at this point, besides I think Seth, in terms of big matches, I don't think anyone gets up to that level that Sasha does at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Roman does.
But Roman does too. Yeah, that's a good
since point. He came back.
And
Shane McMahon does.
Okay.
That's not a joke either. I think Bianca, you know, carrying Sasha in all the way from the outside, that's like a moment that we're gonna talk about.
Yes.
You know, hitting the 450 splash and not getting the three is a good thing, and then obviously just the end with the hair, just whipping the shit out of her. With
saved it until the moment that it fucking mattered. That's what I was waiting on since she got to the main roster, because I paid attention, paid very close to. She didn't really do it all that much in NXT either.
No.
From what I remember, she would break it out in the beginning stages, and then she relented, and then you probably only saw it in the big takeover match. But she never did it in WWE up until this point. And when she whipped it out at the end of that match, and that ring mic, like, I've never heard it sound like that. It picked it up fucking perfectly, and Sasha sold the shit out of it. That was an excellent ending. That's gonna go down as one of the most memorable moments in WrestleMania history.
Yeah.
The other thing that added to that, it was something that I noticed and I picked up on literally right away. And if you missed it, just go back and watch the moment right before Bianca uses her hair as the whip. You can watch Sasha's eyes bug out.
Go crazy. She realizes that she's
totally screwed.
She's fucked.
Yeah.
So kudos for them up until this point having nobody else grab her hair and use her hair against her until Sasha. Anybody else, that would have been a fucking problem.
No, yeah.
But it was Sasha. It was a main event of WrestleMania. It was perfect storytelling for those 17 and change. For me, the second main event is better than the first main event. Like, I was on the edge of my seat for that entire fucking match. That match is probably better than the Benoit coronation in 2004. I'm gonna go ahead and say that. But like, it's just such a feel good ending for Saturday, man. That's what you want out of like every WrestleMania that you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So. Let's go on to the dude who stole the show, Bad Bunny. Dude whipped out a Canadian destroyer and hit it perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's obviously such a funny move at this point.
It was trolling like hell. I know whoever put together that match was trolling like hell. It was like, yo, we're gonna make all the indie marks suck our dick. We're going to have Bad Bunny do a Canadian destroyer.
Yeah. I think, like, right after it happened, too, I think it was Petey Williams was, like, all mad about it because he technically thinks he invented it, but I think Amazing Red technically did. But, yeah, it's shut up, man. You know, he did it better than you.
Don't have a cow, man. For real. Don't have a cow, man. That was, like, he was wonderful. He did training with Adam Pearce and Drew Gulak, which, man, if they really are paying Drew Gulak $1 million, it's not enough. This is not enough. He looked so, I don't want to say natural, because, you know, obviously he's had to go through a couple months to get the feel down. But for having probably never stepped into a wrestling ring before February, he looked like he could fucking go to NXT, start learning and develop something already. Obviously, he's not going to do that because his main job is music. He used WrestleMania to go announce his tour. And now I have to go scrape together money, rob Peter to pay Paul to go take this woman to go see Bad Bunny. But we all said, every single person said, that's the best any outside celebrity has looked in a WrestleMania or a wrestling ring, period. Not just WWE, not just at WrestleMania, just period. It's crazy how good he was.
No, he was.
He really is.
You know what the thing is? I'm over this whole a celebrity comes in and we're going to immediately like shit on them thing, because not counting the Raw guest host era, I would say probably 95% of the celebrity, 100% of them that have actually worked a match, but like 95% that have been involved at WrestleMania or SummerSlam or whatever in any fashion, they dive in. They take it seriously. So it's just, it's really stupid to continually be like, oh, we don't want celebrities here. They don't care. They do. And they're good. And they actually try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the thing that, you know, like you said, that he looks that good. It's a credit to, you know, how much he stayed committed to, you know, wanting to do this on a week by week basis because of the circumstances. So shout out to him for training and for also just like picking it up so well. And I think one of the, we talk about, you talk about, you know, the reaction to it. That's why I was nervous about the reaction he was going to get at Mania, because, you know, you let crowds in, you don't know what you're expecting, even after it's been like a year plus since we've had fans in shows. Fans don't usually take the celebrities well, even if it's stupid and short-sighted, but he got a huge pop.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, you know, they gave him the big entrance, and, you know, I don't know that Miz
crazy entrance. Oh my God, that was crazy.
That was great. I don't know if Miz and Morrison will ever get the credit they deserve for that match, but
they should.
Those
100%
are
they should.
Really the two guys that you had to have him face.
Are you giving John Morrison credit?
You know. To an extent. But yeah, no, that was great.
Hey, ho, ho, ho. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. I'd like to see Bad Bunny wrestle again, but I know he's busy for the summer at this point. So, you know. Yeah. I think he's welcome back whenever.
I mean, he's instantly going to the WWE Hall of Fame one day. That's solidified. So he'll have his ring. You know, I would say this because you guys make an excellent point on like crowd reaction and how the crowd really reacted to Bad Bunny if we were in normal times. I do think that if we had fans for the lead-in, like from Royal Rumble all the way through, they would not have reacted as patiently and as warmly as, you know, we have just been able to watch from home.
Yeah.
You know, Seth Rollins was making a point before WrestleMania that, you know, they've been able to have cleaner storylines and storytelling to an extent without having the fans there. And with Bad Bunny, him being an outsider, if you were going to go do shows in those weird ass towns, maybe not Corpus Christi, because Corpus Christi's probably got a whole bunch of Bad Bunny fans lying around somewhere, or they'll make the drive. You know, if you go into some of these towns that they don't really know who he is, they don't really listen to his music, they don't pay attention to pop culture like that, they're not as warm to outsiders coming in. And especially if you have that, you know, usual WrestleMania crowd where like, they were semi-snarky this year. Like, you heard your CM Punk chants. I get it. I understand, like, whatever. But they were a really good crowd. And had you had that normal crowd, it would have been much... I feel like it would have been much different. So I do think that not having the crowd was a major boost for Bad Bunny up until the point of WrestleMania. And then by then, him, like, getting the big entrance, him getting... you know, the truck and the pyro and honestly having a really kick-ass partner in Damian Priest, who I think just everybody loves Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Miz and Morrison doing such a great fucking job putting him over. It was just all these things coalescing into what we got, and it was a great match. I don't think anybody was expecting it to be as good as it was. And he stole the show. Like, yeah, you had some better matches on the card, but you stole the show.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So, shout out to Bad Bunny. You'll be seeing your ring in about 10 years. We got new champs across the board. We'll run through them. Rhea Ripley defeated Asuka on Sunday night to become the Raw Women's Champion, and she defeated her again on Monday. So,
yeah.
She didn't really defeat her on Monday. They had Charlotte interfere, so they're probably gonna do a triple.
Oh, I thought I saw a 1-2-3.
No, they were fighting on the outside, and Charlotte came down, and the bell started ringing. So
yeah, I mean, at least Charlotte and Rhea can have a good match together.
Well, look, Rhea is probably under immense pressure, and you know, is expected to deliver right away at the biggest show of the year, and then you know, one of the bigger TV episodes of the year. I think that's a It's an unenviable position, and also sometimes wrestlers don't click.
No, and that's fine.
I mean, sometimes your Steamboat and Savage, sometimes you're AJ Lee and Paige.
Yeah.
You just don't work together.
That's fair.
And I don't know if I think Rhea and Asuka were going for a more methodical match, which I thought was much better on Sunday than whatever happened on Monday. But yeah, sometimes you just don't click. Like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. They're two good wrestlers. Why don't they have good matches with each other? I don't know.
No.
Sometimes people don't click.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was definitely too lull of matches. But Rhea's champion, we'll see where that belt goes moving forward. Hopefully Raw Women's Division gets really better. I don't know. Apollo Crews won the Nigerian drum match thanks to a returning, he was Dabba Kato, as we most recently seen him. But it was Babatunde on NXT and kind of toiled around, but they put him with Apollo Crews, who wins his first Intercontinental Champion. And I think the victory for Apollo over Big E, to me, was the biggest sign that this weekend's theme. It was, we're turning a new page. We know that we have a lot of stars from the PG era, but the reality era, so to speak, of the mid 2010s that are established now. We got to start establishing new stars, and thank God they stuck with Apollo, and Apollo stuck with them, and you know, we're able to see him now in a really good place and a really good gimmick. He's got a heater now. And he's got the Intercontinental Championship. I think, you know, he's the biggest sign of anybody, even Bianca, this WrestleMania theme.
Yeah, in the best way possible, that match was so 1992-93 WWF that it hurt. From the hijinks outside, with the weaponry, to the random, you know, gimmick change for somebody that you've seen under different names before coming out and under a new gimmick to help another wrestler win a match, even a show like Mania. That I like that. Even though it was short, it didn't feel short. Mm-mm. It was so like, I think that to me shows how well this feud was built and how important that match felt. But to me, when I saw the time limit for that, I was like,
Dude, they not only gave Big E the big entrance, him having Wale out there, he had a whole shit ton of pyro. Apollo getting the fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's huge, man. They only did those fireworks for, what, four people? And now we're the two main event champions, Rhea and Apollo.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, no, I think you can continue this feud and it would be fine. You know, go for it.
Yeah. And you know, you keep giving Big E opportunities to go up against guys, go chase moments and accolades and kind of hold him over until Royal Rumble season. I'm very interested in what lies ahead for Big E for the rest of the year. I'm hoping that he has some pretty major feuds coming up. I'm just looking up and down. It's like thinking up and down about the SmackDown roster right now as it stands, and I'm not sure who exactly he could sink his teeth into right now. At least on the heel side, because I mean, like, I don't want to fucking see him and King Corbin. Maybe they can do that, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
They'll have to make some moves, maybe call some folks up, but I'm gonna be watching Big E a lot. AJ Styles and Omos got the victory over the New Day. They're new Raw Tag Team Champions. I really like this match. I think they told a wonderful story with New Day. Just New Day was essentially the heels in this match.
Yeah, that was the thing that I really noticed, especially when I rewatched it, that they made a big deal about cutting the ring in half and keeping AJ out of that corner. And then they finally slipped up, and you know, that's all it took. And you know, almost coming in like a traditional big guy, it's refreshing because a lot of your big guys in wrestling don't wrestle like big guys, and he's clearly going to. And that's really cool. I like him. I think he's an attraction, and I think he's going to just keep getting better. And, you know.
He was looking like one of the star pupils of that big man class that they were talking about.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and he's
was it Chris Park that produced this match?
Yes, because he was on the AJ match. I remember.
I can't remember if he did that match or if he did the Shane Braun match. Which, I mean, it was what it was. I didn't hate it. I'm just mad Jackson Ryker got a WrestleMania check. But anyway, yeah, almost. He's still green, but he's got something to him. I think he's got. Also, I think he's got good big man potential.
Yeah, I mean, you can be green when you're, you know, 7'2" or whatever. Exactly. Because
when you're that fucking massive, dude. Did you see that the they did the whole picture of all the. The black wrestlers hanging out with Westcott Gunn.
Yeah, and he was next to Lashley.
God, he fucking towers over Lashley. And Lashley's what, 6'3"? 6'4" maybe? Like, yeah. Fuck. He's huge. So, Braun is the big show of right now, but I could see almost being the big show tomorrow. I don't even know how old this dude is, but...
He's not too old because he was playing basketball like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's 27.
Oh, may have been. Yeah, no. He's 27, born in 94 from Lagos. So, I mean, honestly, if they wanted to just make him Apollo Crews' heater, they could have did that. Shout out to Nigeria because Nigeria is repping hard in WWE right now. I'm sorry. Morgan State, and is that USF? Did I see Southland Bowl here? Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. So build as 6'3", or 7'3". So I don't know if that means he's really 7 foot straight up, but he's still goddamn. And then also Sheamus winning the United States Championship. I don't really have much to say there. Although I do think that brogue kick was vicious.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy for Sheamus. I like Sheamus, more than Matt Riddle. For obvious reasons.
I think that that match, first of all, I'm glad Sheamus won. He's more than earned a run with that title. They can do a lot of cool mid-card things with that. I think the crowd's reaction to Riddle, to me, just really shows how underreported his accusations were.
Yeah.
Because I can't entirely say that crowd didn't care about, you know, things like that, like towards people who are shitty human beings, since they booed every time that racist ass motherfucker.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That was great.
To his mouth.
That was great.
So I can't say that was, you know, an incel crowd who's, you know, liking Riddle because, you know, it's owning people. Like,
yeah.
There weren't any boos for Riddle, but it was he was definitely not moving anybody.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see who Sheamus defends against.
Sheamus wasn't even on Raw.
No.
Neither were Styles and
Omos. Yeah, it was strange.
So
speaking of Omos, he is 7'3" on the USF and Morgan State sites too. So I think he's a shoot 7'3".
You know what? I guess when you're 7'3", it's okay to say you're 7'3".
Yeah, like when Yao was what, 7'2"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Yao was 7'2"? Bullshit.
Yeah, that's...
He towered over Shaq. What does that make Shaq?
No, Yao was 7'6", I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yao was 7'6", dude.
That's right.
I'm like, they're not lying about Yao being 7'6". Yao was... that's another reason why I love Yao so much and think Yao was so goddamn underrated. Because how do you do the things that he did... For the first like 5 years of his career, and you're 7'2", and you just your walking motion is that weird. Anyway, also happening at WrestleMania was the start of night two. I love the beginnings of Randy and Fiend coming out of the Jack in the Box like structure. Like, what the fuck, Michael Cole? He said it again later on in the night. I'm just like, what is your
fucking... Well, because at first he was like,
box-like structure. And then like, jack-in-the-box-like structure. Like, yeah, you got it. It is a jack-in-the-box-like structure. Because it's a goddamn jack-in-the-box. It plays Pop Goes the Weasel, my guy. Like, what? Anyway,
yeah, I mean...
Send me to a medical facility, a local medical facility.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it a little bit. The visuals were cool. I could do without the red lighting, but
yeah, I really
don't know why that was there again.
That was a step backwards, especially because of Orton's very loud and vibrant white trunks and knee pads. Like, why would you suppress the light on that to just have him, you know, just look creepy?
Yeah, I mean,
you want that to pop.
you know, they did a standard match, which I said, you know, I hope they don't do that. And they kept it short. It wasn't as bad as the WrestleMania 33 match. Not that that's, you know, an accomplishment.
It's not a high bar to clear, but they still cleared it by a comfortable mile, in my opinion.
You know,
it wasn't good, but it wasn't, like, bad.
I guess Alexa turned. You know, Alexa's saving this because she's all in on this.
Yeah, she's all in on this. And it was my first thought was that she was running the show. And now she has all the power, and she all but confirmed that on Raw. So
yeah, so I mean,
basically, now Alexa's become the puppeteer. Basically.
I mean, I thought Randy was going to lose and go hang out on the beach for 3 months, but you know,
no, he's going to win, but then they're not going to give him the next title match because we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
yeah. I also don't understand why so many people. Just like, oh, Bray's finished. Brady's to be rehabbed, da-da-da. Like, no, this is the next step in continuing the rehab of Bray Wyatt. The rehab started was when they paired him, when he did the stuff with Alexa. I want to say that was during the Braun stuff, so it was over the summer. Once he went to Raw and that kind of started to take form, and then all of a sudden, like, they're an item, kind of. Or she's she was the avatar. That's when the rehab began, and it's just continuing. And now we get to this point where she is truly Sister Abigail. She's in control. It's compelling. Like what happened at WrestleMania was compelling as fuck. I didn't understand anybody come away from that like, oh, Braun needs to be rehabbed. That was silly.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting with Bray at this point because it's kind of the same shit that he's been where. He's a very compelling character and not very good in the ring. Well, and
but also, he's a very compelling character, but I think sometimes he does fall victim to getting a little too lost in his own sauce.
But also, somewhere along the way, all these, you know, wrestling blogs and writers and stuff decided that they were too, you know, highbrow for hokey shit.
Yeah, so, that too.
I mean, it doesn't help.
No, it really doesn't help.
Like, it might not be for me, but I also, you know, don't go out of my way to be like, this is the worst shit I've ever watched.
But also, like,
it's a lot of posturing.
Yeah, it's a lot of posturing. And to me, it's like, okay, you've been watching wrestling for how long? And for whatever reason, you still get mad at this silly shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're getting out of this. So if you're that mad, why are you still watching?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone who knows anything about WWE or formerly known as WWF is, yeah, they do the great wrestling stuff, but they also do this lowbrow, cheesy, corny-ass shit. And sometimes it works for people. And for me, this worked for me because I've really liked this whole feud. So, but, and also Bray possibly alluding to being like a preacher and then today learning that they're filming Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that you aren't related, but they're not unrelated.
He also did a Brody Lee tribute in that match, which is cool.
I think he did more than one.
Yeah. So I like really that. Cool. That was good.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. Now let's talk about indie wrestling getting the showcase on WrestleMania. There was two matches that if I was a 2009 or 2010 Ring of Honor fan, I would have been losing my shit over the fact that these four guys got to have separate matches at WrestleMania. Let's start with Claudio versus Tyler Black. That was really good that Cesaro finally got that. I mean, he got a WrestleMania moment when he won the Andre, but it's different when you're winning a one-on-one match and, you know, you've had all these fucking stop starts and now it finally feels like there's some belief under you. And everyone loves Cesaro, so it was just a wonderful moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting big singles win is a big thing. And, you know, he did the swing like he said he was going to do. He bust out the
ending, dog. Oh, my God. Because he did the elbow, which was fucking crazy. Then he did the swing. Then he did the neutralizer, right?
Yeah.
God, it's good.
And, you know, they did the curb stomp into the uppercut, which was cool. Kind of going back to their good. And I don't know, has he done the UFO in WWE ever? Or did he just bust that out? Because that was cool, and I don't remember seeing that too often.
I think he might have done it once.
Yeah, because I don't remember.
If I recall correctly, I think he definitely did it when I was on Twitter because I remember people freaking out about it. It might have been that match against Dragunov in Cardiff. I don't know why,
but still.
That's the thing that's going to happen, but I think that's the last time I've seen the words UFO.
And that's a really cool move that I don't fully know how it works. but And I don't know that Seth has ever done that 360 corkscrew thing either. So just a lot of stuff busted out in this match. They basically just told them, you know, go out and do your thing, and that works.
And you talked about 2010 Ring of Honor. Yeah, people telling Tyler Black that he was going to be a jobber in WWE.
Yeah.
The crowd literally was people in the crowd were telling him that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in his last match, I'm pretty sure, with Ring of Honor.
So you know,
he's really shown them it.
Look at him now.
Yeah, Seth was great too, and I love the new theme. It was so nice, such a good fucking theme. They need to hit Apple Music as soon as possible. And then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn continue to fight forever. And I never want them to stop. Yeah, we had Logan Paul in it. Logan Paul got stunnered, as you know, we all hoped he did. But yeah, you're a fan of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, El Generico and Kevin Steen. This was something that you always hoped that you would get to see, and that's the two of them go at it at WrestleMania. I think even for the two of them, like, they had to just be going crazy on the inside.
Oh yeah. No, you know, people say it didn't have too much build or whatever, but it doesn't need build. I mean, you know, historically, looking at the two guys, and you know, I think Logan Paul's involvement was exactly what it needed to be too. So they did kind of what they needed to do there. And
well, to be honest with you, when it comes to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, unless you got on the fandom wagon from like 2019 onward, if you jumped any time before that, you know that these people are interconnected within each other in some sort of way. Since 2014, we're talking, they've been tied at the hip sort of in some sort of way with each other. Minus the fact that Sami's been hurt. Yeah, Kevin's been hurt as well. But if you're on this wagon, you know their history by now. So I think that that's supporting the fact that, okay, we can just give them 2 weeks to build and it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because they're going to take care of the rest. And everybody who's on the ride now, chances are they've been on the ride with Sami and Kevin since the start.
Yeah.
So that further supports the fact that, you know, okay, they don't really care that they're getting just these two weeks because, you know, they're going to do it well. And I think the amusing thing is, unless I'm mistaken here, and it was announced, they got the producer list for the matches and everything, but Sami and Kevin didn't have a producer listed. Which makes you wonder, did they write out the match together, which I could easily see them doing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. They could have. I mean, you know, Jericho talked about how him and Shawn Michaels pretty much built their entire WrestleMania 19 match together. So it's something that happened.
From what I've heard, they have complete freedom with their promos. So,
you know, that's the thing I want to get into real quick just before we kind of move on from WrestleMania. We talked about the rain delay a little bit, but it was refreshing to see people scramble a little bit and just kind of talk and not have to follow a set script. Just get your guys who can talk out there and say whatever. And I think that's something that they should do more.
Yes, it's 100% something they should do more. Now let's talk about the two-night takeover that happened last week, Wednesday, Thursday. I guess we can like slightly touch on this past week's NXT, or at least the major things that happened. We had two new champions, both Karrion Kross and I said Rhea, but Rhea. Oh my god, I'm so stupid. Rhea Gonzalez, Reina Gonzalez. There we go. There we go. They're the new champs to people running on NXT. It's Kross's second reign. It's Reina's first. Where do we make of them going forward with the straps in hand?
Now, see, I thought both would be heels coming out of what happened on Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, I have the last couple of months to, you know, support that theory. But based on how everything happened on Tuesday, I think they're pushing more towards tweener Karrion, and I think they're turning Raquel face.
It seems like it. I mean, Mercedes Martinez.
Every single way that they measured, you know, and you know, put Raquel in view, she was positioned as a baby face.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Mercedes Martinez, they're not going to do heel versus heel.
No,
I know they're two badasses or whatever. They're not going to do that.
And, you know, I liked what they did with Cross, where he just cut a promo. No one interrupted him. I mean, I don't like him. I don't like watching him work, but
apparently the hecklers in the Full Sail, not the Full Sail crowd, but they might as well be the Full Sail crowd. Full Sail still sucks.
Yeah.
CWC, they were fans of him.
Well,
I heard someone chant "You deserve it" him, and I wanted to take my remote and throw it through the TV.
Of course they are.
Please get rid of that freaking chant.
But no, I mean, I think it was cool though that he just got a promo and no one came out to interrupt him. Agreed. And then they didn't really talk about that title the rest of the night, because you have X amount of weeks or months until a takeover, probably June or July.
Yeah, or a big TV show that they don't need to rush and build now.
Yeah, I don't know.
The hell AEW's doing.
And I talked about that. Are they going to still do the big shows to pop a rating, or, you know?
I think they still will, so that they can, you know, get some good TV ratings, and, you know, so they don't have to do a takeover every month like the main roster
does. That's true.
Does with pay-per-views, but they're not going to be forced to load up cards 1 week, take another, you know, a couple weeks of soft build, and then go forward again. They're not trying to just try and, you know, cut into AEW's audience anymore. They're just trying to be their own thing.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you know, with Cross going forward, it is interesting, though, because I really have no idea who's going to challenge him.
I don't either, because, you know, they were pushing Kushida, but then he lost to Dunn, and then he became Cruiserweight Champion, so that takes him out of that equation.
I mean, you know, Thatcher and Ciampa are still going for the tag titles.
Yep.
Adam Cole.
It could be done, but I don't know that him saying that he wants anyone from any brand showing up to them.
Yeah.
That we might get somebody moving from the main roster to NXT, because I guess that would technically be a swap, since I think Roddy's going up to
SmackDown. Yeah. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly are dead.
Yes.
They are dead. Finn Balor was not on TV last night, so it probably shouldn't be him again anyway.
Well, probably shouldn't be on NXT TV ever again.
No, I mean, he can go up, you know.
Well,
if he wants to.
I don't know if he wants to.
Yeah, I know it was a big thing for him to, you know, go to NXT in the first place, but
I mean, he was burned out. Like, he was legitimately, you know, like near the end of his rope.
But
so I guess if I can only say one thing to the man, Fergal Devitt, like, I understand that you were burned out, but rightfully so, because you're working a gimmick that's kind of waning. And, you know, Vince wants to push this one thing. Well, now he knows that you're awesome how you are right now. And y'all ain't going touring, apparently, for another couple months. So send your ass to Mondays or to Fridays. Continue being great. And let's give other people a shot in NXT.
Yeah.
We don't need... Finn might want to be in NXT. We don't need Finn in NXT.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
that's where we start to like have to separate.
There. But then it's like, you know, kind of looking at baby faces or just challengers so in general, thin. Based on the people they're that so we thin. Talked about. Already. I mean, you're left with like Bronson Reed and Dexter Lumis are your kind of top guys now.
And they're
well, okay. You can have them on for maybe a little bit longer, just until you're able to build somebody. But like, okay, rematch. He's got an automatic rematch probably at the next takeover.
Yeah, that's fair.
See, I'm intrigued, because I will say this. I don't know if they would do something like this, but maybe they would. I think the next big match under the NXT banner in general, I think it's Finn Walter, especially if they're doing TakeOver in Dublin in July, as is rumored.
Yeah.
If Ireland's able to open up and do all that fun stuff. I think they're going to do Finn Walter for the UK title, because Walter's out of competitive challengers at this point, because he's a forever champion, and doing that match in Dublin would be mental.
Yeah.
But if Walter and Imperium are going to say things like they're going to be here to stay, let me throw a wild card at you, a curveball, and say that they could do Cross versus Walter. Maybe just as an attraction match, not for the title. Mm-hmm. They could very easily do Cross versus Walter as an attraction of, you know, who's the baddest dude in NXT?
Yeah.
The biggest, baddest guy. Is it Cross or is it Walter?
No,
I think that because they've done that before. They did it with Mercedes and Rey.
Yeah,
they've done the who's the baddest.
No, that's true.
Doing with the women, I guess they've been doing it with the men. And to be fair, Cross can be viewed as a badass and booked as one. Walter is Walter. That's super easy to get him over dominantly. So
well,
why not?
And you know, also I think NXT yesterday was
a refreshing reset.
Yeah, a nice reset. One of their best TV episodes in recent memory. But yeah, it was nice to see a reset where we don't know everything going forward, because, you know, they didn't do that on Raw.
And they're also putting forward newer talent who are going to be on your television screens for a long time.
Yeah, which they also didn't do on Raw.
They didn't do that on Raw at all. No.
So,
but yeah, and I mean, you know, you said Finn wasn't there. Io wasn't there either.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think that Io could stay down there. Tony Storm wasn't on there. Harley was referred to. She wasn't on TV at all going into TakeOver. I wonder aloud if she's going up. We'll see her on Friday.
I don't think he's going up, but LA Knight wasn't there last night.
LA Knight wasn't there.
Cameron Grimes wasn't there last night.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're probably just chilling
because
they were trying to pivot towards newer people. So, yeah. No, Raw did not do that at all whatsoever. But NXT was... They did it, and they did it in a way that didn't really feel too forced to me.
Yeah. No, it was nice. It was a nice reset, and... You know, I'm interested in seeing where they go going forward, and that's all I can ask for. Whereas Raw, I'm really not.
Yeah, what'd y'all think of the Kyle O'Reilly Adam Cole match?
It was long. I mean,
it was long, but I knew
super
it was
long.
Well, they probably could have cut 10 minutes off of it, but you know,
it's this Triple H effect.
And it's Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. You know you're getting 30 plus. It just matters where it falls.
Yeah, no, I think it was good. I think, you know, it was a little too long. And, you know, 40-minute match is going to be hard for some people to swallow no matter who it is.
The people who liked it are the people who were going to like it going in. The people who didn't like it are the ones who knew that they wouldn't like it for reasons that you're saying that it's...
No, because what if you like both guys but don't like 40-minute matches?
Then again, you knew going in you wouldn't like it if it went that long. That's what I'm saying. The people who liked it are the ones who have accepted that it was going to be long and don't mind it. And they were going to enjoy it either way.
That's fair.
The people like you, I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm just saying the people who knew that they wouldn't like it found that reason not to like it and then didn't like it. Which is fine because you're upfront about it.
I thought it was cool that they used a chain. You don't see a lot of chains.
No, you do not see a lot of chains. Not only that, the chain is the main weapon. Mm-hmm. It's usually just an accessory.
Yeah, so that was cool. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, you know, went a little long for my taste, but it was good.
I enjoyed Cole cussing out Kyle while still being on the stretcher.
Yeah, that was good, too. Yeah.
Massively. We have a new Cruiserweight champion, and it's nobody that came out of that ladder match the other night. Santos Escobar beat Jordan Devlin. It was a decent match. But Kushida, who lost on night one to... Tyler Bate, good God. Pete Dunne, he put on some trunks and decided, hey, I'm going to go challenge Santos Escobar, and he won the Cruiserweight Championship. So good for Kushida.
Yeah.
That's a more interesting turn for him. You're going to see him hopefully on 205 soon. And then with Santos Escobar, it's more of a sign that they're going to push him upwards and onwards. And I don't know if it's necessarily going to be in NXT, because like I think he's good enough, and he's nearing 40, touching 40. I think he's good enough to be a main roster player.
I mean, he's a guy who could go work Sheamus, and that would be an instant jolt into Raw. You know, we talked about that.
They don't have a really big Mexican superstar right now, do they? Besides Mysterio, one.
Well, they have they have Priest for Latin America.
Well, but I guess I don't necessarily mean Mexican.
Yes. Very good point.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean...
But Santos actually, if they want to graduate him and keep him in NXT, I don't know why I totally forgot this, even if it's something people don't want. I mean, Santos has unfinished business with Cross.
Yeah.
He could very easily challenge for that NXT title, and people would love that.
No, that's fair.
Because there's a lot of people who are behind Santos.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for Kushida though. Overall,
yeah,
it's overdue that he gets, you know, a singles title in that brand, and yeah, it's good stuff. You know, I think
this is another case of that. Well, if there's one nitpick, it was what Pierce pointed out that he lost to Dunn. I feel like with someone like Santos, who's built himself up as, you know, the best cruiserweight in NXT for over a year now, that I'm not necessarily hurt by it, because it's not like I can't believe in Kushida, but like, he did lose the North American Championship match to Johnny in February. He's had, you know, moments, but he's never really, you know, excelled. I think they could have given the win to Kushida.
Well,
if they knew they were going to have him win the Cruiserweight title anyway.
I
don't think that they needed to have him lose. That seemed very silly, because it's like, okay, yeah, great, you won the cruiserweight title, but you can't beat Pete Dunne.
They struggle to build people up by having them win. They build people up by having them lose, which
that's really silly.
Yeah,
because again, Dunne's out here challenging anybody, and it's like, okay, he's doing it because he beat Kushida. But Kushida comes out, answers another person's challenge, and is able to beat them, but won't challenge Dunne. Like, okay, well, that makes Dunne look superior. So why should I believe
him? Mm-hmm. But it's still good, though.
It's very good, and Kushida also ditched the jeans and put Trunks on one. So.
Although,
and
I don't...
Finding out the right formula.
I don't know if Legado del Fantasma got new music recently or if I just noticed it, but no, music is very good.
They switched it up.
Yeah, it's very good.
They switched it up. And I think that actually happened at Stand and Deliver. They switched it up.
Yeah.
Because usually, before you had the sound of the car, like, skidding.
Yeah, I think they remixed it something.
They definitely remixed it.
It's very good.
It for the better, too. It's really good.
I like it.
Yeah, their presentation is flawless. On the main roster, you get like 20 camera cuts on the damn entrance.
Mm-hmm.
I guess no need to talk about Walter and Ciampa. So before we go back to the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania 21, did you guys see the Jericho Broken Skull sessions?
I did, because you put it on the rundown, and I'm like, I better watch this. And then I saw it was 2 hours, and I had a great time. I loved it.
What, did you?
Yeah. No, I really did. I thought
I was going to say, like, that's expert sarcasm. That's like me levels of sarcasm. That
was no, crazy. I was expecting to not like it, but it was very good. You know, Jericho didn't do his, you know, standard Jericho thing. He was actually really insightful. He
also
didn't
talk about the Capitol.
Yeah. Yeah. but, you know, he went back kind of... It was like, if you read his first two books, it was kind of mostly just stories from that, and then some more stuff about his recent run. But yeah, I thought it was cool. You know, he went over how he set up his match with Michaels at WrestleMania, where they worked together. He went over, you know, his initial meeting with Vince before he was even signed.
By the way, I did not mean to pause you, but I loved how he said that was inspired by Owen. I love that, like, Owen was an inspiration for that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it had a lot of really good facts in it. I think Stone Cold is very good at this whole thing. He gets people feeling comfortable. I mean, he did that on his podcast back in the day, too, where he's just a really good interviewer. And it made me want to watch the rest of the Broken Skull sessions because I feel like I miss them every time. And this made me want to go back. It was good. And obviously kind of shows that the war between WWE and AEW isn't really a thing.
It's not what people think it is.
No, exactly. Like they're going to take shots at each other or whatever when it's convenient, but that's just about it. I mean,
you know what I can best compare it to, and Rob, you will understand this. It's Cubs versus Sox. They might not. They're quote unquote competition. Because they're not really competition. Like, they're in two different leagues. They're competition when they have to play each other. But, you know, they're in two entirely different leagues. WWE is the major leagues. They are one of one. They cannot be touched. AEW is trying to create their own lane for fans that feel like they're not serviced by WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how it always been. The NXT thing was a nice little wrinkle. Now they're moved to Thursdays, which is a much better time slot for them. AEW can't move off Wednesdays. And you know, that's fine. You know, if we get an extra day of wrestling to where, okay, now I can focus on AEW instead of having to say, oh, well, NXT's on tonight, I'll watch that instead. It's dope. It's great. And I think, you know, having Jericho on there and, you know, him being able to kind of be like the bridge. Like, he can come on and do this with Austin because they have a wonderful rapport. He is a WWE legend. He's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame at some point of both companies. You know, and then, you know, just being able to, you know, openly and freely just be like, hey, this is why I left. I thought that was very compelling because I don't think he really even, you know, talked about the end days of him in WWE and why he was so frustrated and what compelled him to finally dip over to New Japan and then the saga that left him to AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I never really knew that the plan was Jericho and Brock. I also am not sure I fully believe that, but you know, it kind of is what it is.
But why not?
Well, you know, it felt like Brock Goldberg was always going to be the Mania match, but you know, it was still good. It was insightful. It kind of left me with the impression that, you know, when he's able to, he's going to probably be back in WWE in some capacity.
When it's time for him to no longer be that main player and to no longer, you know, be a face and carry a company, when he's ready to just wind down, he'll come back.
Yeah, but at the moment, he is probably going to face Mike Tyson at Double or Nothing. So, got that going for him.
It's one of the biggest matches he's ever had.
Oh, yeah, like, no.
You know, like, it's Mike fucking Tyson. So, mm-hmm. I really wish they would hold off on Double or Nothing because Nevada's supposed to go to full capacity June 1st. And they can definitely run. The way Vegas is looking now, they can run Vegas.
Shit, isn't Mike Tyson fighting Vander Holyfield around then? I don't know if he's going to be at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, I know he is supposed to fight a Vander, but I don't remember the date. Let me go look it up.
I thought that was around Memorial Day, so he wouldn't be at Double or Nothing.
I guess they set a date a couple of days ago. June? Oh, no. Holyfield will fight Kevin McBride on June 5th. It's an 8-round exhibition. That's a tune-up. Before the main fight, so it might happen maybe sometime in the fall.
Okay, so he could wrestle.
Because when was Tyson's fight with Roy Jones? That was like early December, right?
December, yeah.
Yeah, they'll I could see them doing it like Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm.
So yeah, he's got some open time.
That's fair.
Yep. All right, let's go back and talk about the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania in 2005. We're coming off the heels of WrestleMania 21. It was a changing of the guard type of show. We have a new World Heavyweight Champion in Batista getting to come up. It's on Triple H, ending the run of terror that he went on. We won't see another Triple H title run. I know he wins the title in 2007, but we won't really see a Triple H title run until 2008. So crazy to think that, you know, when you look back on it, we went that long without having a belt. John Cena is the new WWE champion, beating JBL. Shawn and Kurt put on an all-time classic at WrestleMania. Taker's now 13-0, am I right? Mm-hmm. 13-0? Yeah, 13-0 would be Randy Orton. Edge is holding the Money in the Bank briefcase. Wonder what he's going to do with that. And yeah, those are probably the biggest takeaways out of this WrestleMania. I was shocked. Oh, God, okay. I guess we got to talk about it. Fine. Chris, go ahead.
We don't necessarily have to talk about that basketball game that took place in St. Louis on April 4th, 2005.
Sean May won Most Outstanding Player. Sean fucking May. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the thing is about that? Like, if it's Ray Felton, whatever, you know, he went on to have a 10-year NBA career or whatever, but
Sean I'd be May. Cool if it was I'd be cool if it was Rashad McCants. It was goddamn Sean May. It's not even like he had a hard time because he was going up against James Augustine and Roger Powell. Like, they were mincemeat.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Anyways, top five in America for songs on Billboard. Five, going down to five, was Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Going down to four was
Still
Obsession.
In the top five.
Still in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Three, going up to three, is Hate It or Love It. Number two, going up to number two, is Since You've Been Gone. And still retaining the number one spot, as it will be for the next few months, is Candy Shop by 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to necessarily talk too much about basketball, but there has been baseball going on.
Yeah.
Because like when we talked about on the WrestleMania show, we had opening night on Sunday Night Baseball. There was some crazy shit going on on opening day in 2005. We talked about how the Cubs beat up the Diamondbacks. It was not the only thing that happened that day. The Rockies walked off as winners 12-10 after a 4-run ninth inning. This is because while facing Trevor Hoffman, Corey Sullivan got an RBI double. Aaron Miles got an RBI single. And then Clint Barmes hit a walk-off home run. Those three names got after Trevor Hoffman.
Wow.
Of all people.
Yeah. You know.
Just absolutely ridiculous. Also, in Cincinnati, the Reds walked off the Mets. This after back-to-back home runs from Adam Dunn and Joe Randa.
There you go.
So Braden Looper, unfortunately, just did not happen. Austin Kearns also got a single to start the inning, so Looper didn't record a single out.
Mm-hmm.
And record and be able to hit each time. Let's see. So this is April 5th. Okay, so that's it for Monday. Done.
Yeah.
On to Raw.
Yeah, there's a lot of news coming out of WrestleMania, but we're saving it for next week because there's just so much. Matt Hardy's gone, Rhino's gone, which is just a lot to talk about. We're just gonna save it for next week.
Yes. Which is better off doing that.
Yeah. So Raw from Staples Center, which is the first time Raw ever came from the same place WrestleMania was the night after.
Yeah, because in previous years they went to, you know, very close by venues. In the Ruthless Aggression era, I believe that we had Montreal in 2002,
mm-hmm.
Seattle in 2003 at Key Arena.
Yep.
2004 was Continental Airlines Arena.
Yep.
And now this year is Staples Center.
Yeah.
And this is only the fifth Monday Night Raw to ever take place at Staples. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
2-0-3. 1-0-1 and 1-2000, which was the night after WrestleMania 2000.
Yes. We start off with a pretty cool montage of everything that went down at WrestleMania, which was a big deal because they used to only show the still frames. This is like a 5-minute
trailer. Yeah, this is a legitimate 5-minute trailer of the show.
No, it was cool. I liked it. Triple H is here to open the show. The crowd wants Batista. Triple H admits that he lost his title and Batista was awesome, but it's just one night. Triple H is great every night. He's got a rematch coming, and it's going to be a backlash, except, you know, he didn't say backlash, but, you know, it's going to be a backlash. When Triple H wins his title back, he's going to come back and shove it down everyone's throat. And then we open the in-ring portion with Chris Jericho versus Christian versus Shelton Benjamin for the Intercontinental title, and this match was very good.
Mm-hmm. It was.
You know, Shelton and Jericho worked together at first against Christian, but it becomes every man for himself. They did Tower of Doom spot, which wasn't something you saw in every single multi-man match back then, so it was pretty cool.
This was one of the first instances in WWE as well.
Yeah. Jericho put Christian in the Walls of Jericho, but Shelton hit a springboard bulldog on Jericho and pinned him. Mm-hmm. And just, Shelton is so good. We talk about it every week, but he is great.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bischoff wants to know if Edge is cashing in tonight. Edge says that he'll cash in when he's ready, which, I mean, technically is his right, you know. And Bischoff says that if he's not going to cash in, he can face Chris Benoit tonight.
I still am such a fan of tweener Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Way more than I was as a kid. And it's going to suck in 2+ months when they basically just turn him into McMahon again.
Bischoff's great.
McMahon against Austin.
Shout out to Eric Bischoff. It was nice to see him at WrestleMania. We don't need to get further into it.
No.
For your sake.
Please. Thank you.
Randy Orton's in the ring. Said he came this close to beating The Undertaker, but when he went up for the tombstone, he heard a snap in his shoulder. If that didn't happen, he would have beaten The Undertaker. And then he was watching the monitor as he was getting looked at and saw Batista as the new champion. And at least he respects The Undertaker and Triple H, but he has no respect for Batista. They made fun of him all the time in Evolution. Randy should be in his spot. He wants to face Batista tonight. And Eric Bischoff says that Triple H is next in line for a title shot, and then probably Edge. Not Randy, but Randy can have a non-title match.
See, I thought, as a kid, and up until recently, that this is actually where Orton got hurt. Because he sold it so well. I did not realize that this happened weeks before.
By recently, do you mean when I told you 3 weeks ago?
Literally 3 weeks ago. I'm not even joking. I thought the story was that he got hurt in this match and just needed surgery.
Yeah.
I did not know that it took place in March.
Mm-hmm. Christy Hemme's facing Trish Stratus for the women's title again. She lost clean, but is getting a rematch. You know, good for her.
We know why this is happening.
Before the bell, Trish kicks her in the head and then gets in a brawl with Lita. It's good stuff.
God bless Christy Hemme. She could sell not getting knocked out just incredibly well. She's just chilling there on her face on the mat.
Yeah.
This was hilarious heel work.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
This is one of this, and it sucks because in 2 weeks she's gone for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
We're worse off for it.
Yes.
But yeah, this is just fantastic.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels here, still selling his leg and ankle. Wanted to come out and
oversized suit.
Yeah. He wanted to thank the fans for their support. Seems like he's retiring, but he's not.
No.
He wants a rematch against Kurt Angle at some point, which will happen.
Yes.
Says if they have a rematch, it won't go the same way.
Correct.
Hassan and Daivari come out. Hassan says, last night everyone saw the return of Hulk Hogan. They witnessed a broken down has-been put his hands on Hassan and Daivari, and the people cheered.
Rob, I'm noticing on the notes that you sent me on before we went on to air that you said the immoral Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, the zinger. just like when they cheered when Michaels lost to Angle, they cheer losers because they're all losers too. They fear Hassan's success and heritage. Michaels goes after Hassan and Daivari, but the numbers game gets the best of him, and Hassan puts him in the camel clutch while Daivari kicks him. So Shawn Michaels needs a friend.
He does.
Which,
and unfortunately, we learn that he does not have good judgment.
Yeah, but it also will get very fun to talk about in a couple months just because of how big of a mess it becomes. We move on. Move on to Edge against Chris Benoit. Benoit's still selling the arm. You don't see people sell injuries the night after shows anymore.
Selling ass off.
Yeah.
On the way to the ring.
You don't see that anymore, though.
Hobbling.
No one on Raw was selling any injuries this week.
Was selling any.
You know? Jim Ross being very annoying in this match, cheering the babyface quite a bit. Benoit avoids the spear and rolls up Edge for the win, which maybe not what I would do for a guy who just won the big briefcase, but
yeah.
Then Edge beats Benoit's arm with a chair, and I think they will wrestle a Backlash. And
they will. Edge. Well, no, they're going to have a match in two. They're going to have a match in 2 weeks. But spoiler alert: does not come to a finish because they fight in the crowd and to the back.
Yeah,
and that's when the last man standing match is made for Backlash.
Not to spoil it, but Edge puts a brick in the briefcase and hits him with it.
It's fantastic, and I don't understand why no one's done that since.
Simon Dean and Maven are in the ring for an infomercial. If you want to look as good as Maven, you can with the Simon system. Maven thought LA was full of beautiful people, but it seems like it just stands for lard asses. Shelton says Simon says they're too busy drinking beer and eating nachos, and he defies anyone to tell him differently, which brings out Stone Cold.
Nice little surprise for the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in that.
Stone Cold wanted to know if Simon was insulting beer drinkers and told Maven to grow his hair back because he's not going to be Stone Cold. Stone Cold gets some beers for them all, and Simon says it's not bad, but he starts doing push-ups to work off the calories. Stone Cold's going to try the Simon System protein shake, and Stone Cold says it's not very good. And then Simon goes to drink it, and Maven slaps his back, and he gets it all over Stone Cold, and everyone gets stunned.
Also, back to Trish and her being a tremendous heel. I gotta say, I must have really not been paying attention to crowd reactions at all whatsoever, because I did not realize how long the Hardy taunts at Lita have been going on.
Yeah. And
same thing with Edge.
I mean, it'll get worse.
Oh, it's gonna get so much worse in 2 weeks. When we talk about that MSG show, it is so bad.
Yeah.
Because that's when I first learned about it. It is so bad.
And we close the evening with Randy Orton Orton's getting ready for his match, and Kane told him that, you know, I told you so, you weren't going to beat The Undertaker, you can't beat what you don't understand. So, nice payoff there. And then it's time for Randy Orton against Batista. Which, kind of strange, we don't see Batista until, like, the final 5 minutes of the show, but...
You keep everyone waiting.
Yeah. Gets the win.
But also, this is a Triple H show. Okay.
He gets the win pretty easily with the Batista bomb, and we will not see Randy again until August.
Well... June.
Well, yeah.
And then July.
Triple H stares Batista down from the ramp, and that's how we end the show. So, pretty good Raw.
Solid. Yeah. You know, we happened in LA again, so I'm pretty sure the post-WrestleMania crowd, you know, they were decent. They were really good. Let's go to SmackDown, which, I mean, it's very SmackDown.
Yeah.
All right. So, just a few more baseball scores from the 5th through the 7th that I found interesting. The Cardinals beat the Astros on their first day of action 7-3, thanks to 3 first inning home runs from Jim Edmonds, Reggie Sanders, and Larry Walker.
Mm-hmm.
First two coming off of
White. Sanders. I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, my mistake. So these three all did not hit him in the first inning, but they did score 3 runs.
And you said Larry Walker. So Larry Walker was on the Cardinals at this point.
He was. This was his. I believe this was his first year on the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In 05, he came over, I believe.
And he was on the 06 team, wasn't he?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
No, actually, he wasn't.
He wasn't. No.
He was. I guess he was a trade deadline deal in 2004, and he retired at the end of this year.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So he never won a ring, but, you know, it worked out for him.
Also, Also on April 5th, the Yankees were winners against the Red Sox 4-3, thanks to a walk-off home run from Derek Jeter off of Keith Folk.
Derek Jeter. Do you think that Derek Jeter is like scoffing at A-Rod for trying to do what he did just in another sport? Because like he failed to get the Mets, and now he's just running the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he wanted to get the Mets, but he got outbid because Steve Cohen has a ton of money. And do what you got to do, man. Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Anthony Edwards, because like I don't think I love a young basketball player more. Like, he is so NBA young boy that it's crazy. Like, of course he doesn't know who A-Rod is. Why would he? And why would anybody expect him to? Let's just be happy that we got that whole genuine interaction. That was great. Yes.
I mean, he was born in 2001, so it's like...
He was born after A-Rod got his mega deal.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. You know, I guess A-Rod technically played till like 2017, but... It's still, if you don't follow baseball, it's not crazy. If you don't follow
baseball, it's not hard. All right, we'll go a little quicker here with the baseball stuff. Twins beat the Mariners 8-4. They scored 7 runs in the 5th inning. Shannon Stewart, Jason Bartlett, Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau, Torrey Hunter, and Jock Jones all contributed in that inning.
Oh, Jock Jones. Oh, poor Jock Jones. He really caught unfair hell at Wrigley, and an example of why – fucking bleacher bums are assholes and they can.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. April 6th, Alfonso Soriano hit a solo home run to break a 2-2 tie to give the Rangers a 3-2 win over the Angels.
Hell yeah.
Also on April 6th, the White Sox came back and scored 4 runs in the 9th inning to beat the Cleveland Indians to go to 2-0 on the season. Those were contributed thanks to Paul Konerko, who had a 2-run homer. Jermaine Dye hit a homer right after him, and then Juan Uribe hit a sac fly that scored Aaron Rowland.
Oh man, the amount of stories I've heard about Juan Uribe just makes me love him so much more.
Indeed. Okay, let's see. Chipper Jones hit a 13th inning home run to helped beat the Marlins 2-1. The Braves, of course, winning that game. And then also on April 6th, the Astros got some revenge. They beat the Cardinals 4-1. They scored 3 runs in the 8th. Red Sox got their first win 7-3. And also the Nationals won 7-3 over the Phillies. And then the Rays also beat the Blue Jays. Okay, let's move on to SmackDown.
Yeah. From San Diego. And we get the TV MA rating on the network, and I was curious as to why, but it will be evident. It'll
become very clear.
Yes. JBL's out here to open the show, says that he'll go down in history as the best WWE champion of all time. Allowed everyone to marvel at his greatness. The way they thanked him was to cheer for John Cena. Keeps going on, then Eddie Guerrero comes out and says that he's next up for a title shot. JBL has to go through him. Then Big Show comes out to a very large pop, which is surprising.
Yes. Well, I mean, part of that is it's taped. It would be piped in a little bit.
No, that's true. But
JBL really couldn't resist the green card.
Yeah. No. Booker T comes out. Rey Mysterio comes out. Kurt Angle comes out and says that several men in the ring did not win their matches last night, or at WrestleMania, and he did, which...
Yeah, mostly all of them.
That's a good point. Kurt says after WrestleMania, he was arrested for armed robbery because he stole the show. Teddy Long comes out. Teddy Long comes out and tells JBL that he doesn't actually have a rematch clause in his contract, so everyone in the ring will get an opportunity to face John Cena via a number one contenders tournament between all 6 of them.
Yes.
Starting with JBL against Rey Mysterio. Okay. But before that, we get Paul London against Billy Kidman for the Cruiserweight title. Chavo's on commentary. He's very upset about last week. Paul London's doing a spot where he gets thrown out of the ring, but he hits his head on the bottom turnbuckle and busts himself open pretty bad, where I was concerned that he was going to bleed out. Yeah, and that's why this is TVMA, because Paul London just hemorrhaging blood.
Yeah.
Manages to get the win anyway, and then Chavo and Kidman beat him up.
They do.
Luther Reigns making fun of Big Show with all the other heels, saying that his prediction came true and Aki Bono embarrassed Big Show. But Big Show's right behind him, so they're going to have a match. And Big Show wins with relative ease, and this is the end of Luther Reigns on SmackDown.
It's also the first and only time that these two faced off one on one.
Yeah, which, I mean, they had a feud for a lot of last fall, so yeah, you know, you would think. But yeah, Luther Reigns era is over.
And then we get new WWE champion John Cena with a Dave Winfield Padres jersey on.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Shout out to him. Good choice of uniform, style, color, hat. Also, the last time that we're going to be seeing that iteration of the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
So this is a rare moment of Cena actually having that title around him.
Yes. You know, goes in the crowd and cuts the promo, and it was a good promo. Yeah. You know, getting himself over as a top babyface. If you want some, come get some. All that good stuff.
Chain gang.
Yeah.
Getting all the right notes.
Kurt Angle's here for the Kurt Angle Invitational. Next week on SmackDown, we will get Kurt Angle against Eddie Guerrero, the first WWE event I ever attended. So, real excited to watch that back finally.
It's so interesting that that was your first one and my first TV event was 4 days later.
Yeah, that's why we're loading up next week, man, because it's a big week for us.
Anecdotal.
Yeah. Kurt Angle's facing Jose Quesada in the Kurt Angle Invitational. Couldn't find anything about this guy. So, you know, Kurt makes him tap right away. So, Carlito tells Steve Romero that next week is the debut of Carlito's Cabana. Anyone who thinks that they're cool can come on his show and prove it.
This is one of the first appearances for Steve Romero, is it not?
It is.
That's what I thought. He's soon going to be the interviewer on SmackDown and also the commentator on Velocity.
Yes. Eddie tells Ray he has his back tonight against JBL, and Ray says that that didn't really work out for them last week. And
not wrong.
Eddie says not to talk about last week, talk about today. Ray says today is his day because they're in San Diego. And Eddie says that he doesn't know if Ray can beat JBL, and Ray says that he can beat anyone. So we're on to Ray Mysterio against JBL. And they showed Ray's family at ringside, which, you know.
Super funny. That's in 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
Given all that that's happened,
of course. Orlando Jordan interfered a whole bunch behind the ref's back, and eventually Eddie Guerrero came down to even the odds and took him out. But as he was taking Orlando out, JBL kicked Eddie from the ring, but Ray was able to use that distraction for a 619. And Yo got two, but Eddie came in and threw Ray off of JBL and started beating him up and caused a disqualification.
Great
which,
finish.
Yeah, that's a great finish. It's very great creative. Finish. I like it. Obviously, Eddie and Ray are pretty mad at each other. And Orlando and the Bashams attack them, but John Cena comes out and takes them out, and John Cena stands tall to end the show. So I don't know that Cena needed to get involved here necessarily, but, you know, send the people home happy. Exactly. Yeah, a couple good shows. We're in line for a couple good shows going forward, too. So
yeah. King of the Ring.
Yeah, Batista can have it. I think we gave it to Paul London last week, or I'd give it to him for almost bleeding out. But
no, this is a pity one. But I guess I would say Batista because then you know beating Orton, he's not gonna face Orton again
for literally years.
Yeah,
plural.
The next time would be I can't remember if it was 2008 or 2009.
I want to say 2000 and
because I feel like it was Judgment Day 2009. I was there, but
yeah, it might have been 2009 definitely. 2009 sounds right because I know that Orton faced Triple H at Judgment Day 08 for the title.
Yeah, and I think somewhere along the line between then and then the summers when Orton got hurt and fucked up his collarbone.
Yes,
but Batista would have been on Raw around the same time too. So I don't know if they had like you know where they were linked before that. But 2009 Armageddon. For sure.
Armageddon 2008 was their last.
Yeah, that was it. That was it because Orton, at the time he didn't have a championship. I think that was just a regular.
Yeah, it was just a regular singles match. On the go home, it was Orton and Cody against Batista and Triple H. So I don't know if they're playing off of that.
Probably not.
Yeah, somehow.
They had to be building towards a Triple H match.
Yeah.
It's going to be a minute for that. And then beating his former Evolution brother with the sides flip, I think is pretty cool. So we'll give it to Batista. I think this show's been really long. You guys got to get out of here because you guys have adult stuff to do tomorrow. I have to ponder whether I'm going to drop $100 on a show pre-order that I'm not even going to be able to play tomorrow. So it is what it is. You can follow me at Cameron Santo, Rob's at RobAmile31, Chris is at Chris M. Novak, at BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. Sign up for Patreon, $10 gets you everything. The WWE Top 25 for the month of March. You'll get a new episode, extra innings episode of the 40-40 Club coming up this weekend. I think we're going to have some Chicago baseball to talk about. So be on the lookout for that. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. All the other shows, Summer Sessions will be back. Ball Don't Lie, I'm guessing they're going to be just beat fucking irate over the Bulls, which how couldn't you be right now? All that good stuff is coming up this week on the Barber's Chair. Please check us out, man. Rate and review us 5 stars wherever you listen to us. Apple Music, Spotify. We're trying to get on Amazon. If you have Amazon, don't worry. We're trying to get on there too. We'll be back next week where we will double up with the next 2 weeks of shows after the Raw and SmackDown to WrestleMania. And then we'll also talk about the SmackDown after Mania too. And whatever the fallout is next week, which will probably be a better reset of Raw than this past Monday was. But let's get up out of here, man. I am Pierce for Rob and Chris. And this has been another wonderful episode of Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.